Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to our Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church, and I will be teaching for the next 9 months while my husband, Pastor McIntosh, is on sabbatical. Pastor is scheduled to return July 2021. We thank you for joining us and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. And if you like what you hear, please invite your loved ones to tune in as well. Due to the coronavirus, our church continues to meet every Sunday by way of teleconferencing. Please join us every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. via freeconference.com. Our call-in number is 605-313-4834, and the access code is 997-020-pound. You may also obtain this call-in information on our website at kccfc.net. It is our sincere desire that you live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us continue with my teaching titled The Book of Romans, Our Guidebook for Christian Living, which I began on March 17th. This teaching is a verse-by-verse examination of this New Testament book and will provide the listener important details that will give all of us insight on how to live in victory by applying the biblical principles that Apostle Paul shares with us. When I speak of the book of Romans as a guidebook, I'm referring to a manual of information that will give the Christian the ability to live life skillfully in Jesus. It is a guide to a godly lifestyle that may be unknown or unfamiliar to some of you. Therefore, Apostle Paul wrote this book with the intention to lead us to the knowledge of God's New Testament promises, give us understanding on how to operate successfully through applying God's word, his promises to our life, and as a result, live according to God's wisdom, as more than conquerors. It is no secret that the more we know and come to understand God's holy word, the easier it will be for each of us to apply the promises of God to our life by faith. It is through developing and becoming strong in faith that we not only please our Heavenly Father, but also come to experience the more than abundant life in Jesus, the kind of life that gives us the victory over all the challenges of life. If you are tired of being a victim of Satan and his demonic assignments, you need to be a part of this weekly study. For this teaching, I have selected two key verses for the book of Romans for our foundational scripture. Please go to Romans chapter 1. We're going to read Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. Verse 16 says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation from his wrath and punishment to everyone who believes in Christ as Savior, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, Gentile." Verse 17, "For in the gospel the righteousness of God is revealed, both springing from faith and leading to faith, disclosed in a way that awakens more faith, as it is written, and forever remains written, the just and upright shall live by his faith." If you were not with us from the beginning of this teaching, or would like to re-listen to any of the previous programs aired, I invite you to go to our website at kccfc.net to hear any of the episodes now archived under our radio page. You may also give us your comments or questions by way of our website at any time. We welcome them all. For this study, I will continue to quote from the Amplified Study Bible unless otherwise stated. Now let's continue where I left off last week. We finished examining chapter 8, verse 28, when I ran out of time. Please go to the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 29. We began Romans chapter 8, the second portion, which is highlighted as our victory in Christ. Our victory in Christ. I'm going to read verse 29 from the Bible. It says, "For those whom he foreknew and loved and chose beforehand, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, and ultimately share in his complete sanctification, so that he would be the firstborn, the most beloved and honored among many believers." Here's my comment regarding verse 29. Because God is all-knowing, he knows from the beginning who will accept the gift of salvation and who will choose to go to hell. It is God's will that all mankind be saved. You can find that in John chapter 3, verse 16. However, once you are saved, you are predestined or purposed to operate just like Jesus, full of his power and dominion. Let's continue with verse 30. The Bible says, "And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified, declared free of the guilt of sin. And those whom he justified, he also glorified, raising them to a heavenly dignity." Here's my comment regarding verse 30. Christians have been given a purpose. We have been called to be victorious. We are justified, free from the sin nature, and we are glorified, made elevated and special. We are his own special people. We are somebody in Jesus. All right, let's read verse 31 from the Bible. "What then shall we say to all these things? If God is for us, who can be successful against us?" Here's my comment regarding verse 31. There is no question that because God has made us in his image, and through salvation in Jesus, we cannot be defeated. No one or nothing can be successful against us. Not Satan, not cancer, not COVID-19 virus, not even death. There is nothing above the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's read from the Bible, verse 32. It says, "He who did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things?" Here's my comment regarding verse 32. God proved his love and devotion to man when he gave us his son, Jesus Christ, to pay the cost for our redemption. His perfect gift demonstrates that he will not withhold any good thing for his children. Family, that is something to shout about. We have every need met, every desire in Jesus Christ. All right, let's go on to verse 33. The Bible says, "Who will bring any charge against God's elect, his chosen ones? It is God who justifies us, declaring us blameless and putting us in a right relationship with himself." Here's my comment regarding verse 33. It is our relationship through Jesus that gives us absolute right standing with God. Not Satan or any man can bring charges against God's children. We have been forgiven of all our past, present, and future sins in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. All right, let's move on to verse 34. The Bible says, "Who is the one who condemns us? Christ Jesus is the one who died to pay our penalty, and more than that, who has raised from the dead and who is at the right hand of God, interceding with the Father for us." Here's my comment regarding verse 34. We have the greatest advocate representing us, and his name is Jesus. No one or nothing can condemn us. Jesus sits at the right hand of God, interceding on our behalf when we take the time to pray and speak faith confessions over our lives. It is our words that bind and loose on this earth and in heaven. All right, let's go on to verse 35. The Bible says, Who shall ever separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? Here's my comment regarding verse 35. Satan uses tribulation, distress, persecutions, lack, fear to try to separate us from God's promises. Jesus has overcome all tribulation. Supporting scriptures can be found in John chapter 16, verse 33, and Philippians 4, verses 6 through 8. All right, let's go on to verse 36. The Bible says, just as it is written, and forever remains written, for your sake we are put to death all day long. We are regarded as sheep for the slaughter. Here's my comment regarding verse 36. Because we stand for Christ, we will be talked about, criticized, and unjustly accused. But we are in good company because Jesus was without sin, and they came against him unto death. Thank God we do not need to die for Jesus' sake. We got the victory each and every time Satan rears his ugly head. But it's up to each individual Christian to use the authority that God has given them through our words. Amen. All right, let's move on to verse 37. The Bible says, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors, and gain an overwhelming victory through him who loved us, so much that he died for us. Here's my comment regarding verse 37. We are more than conquerors. Hallelujah. We got the victory, no exceptions. Let's go back to the Bible and read verses 38 and 39. Verse 38 says, for I am convinced and continue to be convinced beyond any doubt that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor threatening, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, or any other created thing will be able to separate us from the unlimited love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Here's my comment regarding verses 38 and 39. Family, we have to get to that spiritual point in our life that we are absolutely convinced by God's word that nothing can separate us from the great love of our God. Not death, life, angels, principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, height, death, or any other created thing, including Satan, can separate us from our God's love. Now, I do want to read the footnotes in my study Bible regarding verses 38 and 39. I'm going to start with verse 38. They highlight the ultimate security. And it says, the first chapters of Romans contain the most complete and systematic presentation of the gospel in the scriptures. This passage is the bottom line statement. Nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ. Sadly, too often we hear these words and aren't able to apply them to how we live on a day-to-day basis. Satan is known as a deceiver. He will always try to persuade us that God's love is less than what it is. No matter what the circumstances, no matter how much we mess up, no matter how many times powerful forces there are that would try to damage our relationship with him, God will be there for us with his love. Count on it, family. Seek him out when situations arise, you make the bad decisions, you do something that is out of line with God's word. God loves you, and he will always have an open arm for you. Amen. All right, let's read the footnote for verse 39. The key phrase is, will be able to separate us. It says, Christ created all things in heaven and on earth, things visible and invisible. He was before all things, and in him all things hold together. If God, who was from the beginning, is for us, no created thing can separate us from his love. Our security in him is absolute. Amen and amen. Well, family, that concludes chapter 8 of the book of Romans. Let's continue with Romans chapter 9. We're going to start with verse number 1. Before I start, I want to let you know that the topic for the next few verses is concern for Israel. Verse 1 from the Bible says, I am telling the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience testifies with me, enlightened and prompted by the Holy Spirit. Here's my comment regarding verse 1. Conscience is referring to our recreated spirit who has been made alive in Christ Jesus. And for this verse, I would like to read the footnote from my Bible. It also highlights conscience. And the footnote says, this word is used by Paul for the witness within a person which scrutinizes, examines, and renders a verdict on behavior. Paul is saying in the passage that his conscience verifies the truthfulness of his statement, that he has great grief over the Jew rejection of the gospel. The Holy Spirit is the revealer of the truth to the soul, and only as the mind and heart are taught by Scripture and governed by the Holy Spirit is the voice of conscience a reliable guide in life. Again, it is the Holy Spirit that we must lean on to receive guidance in our everyday walk here on earth. All right, let's go on to verse number 2. The Bible says that I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. Here's my comment regarding verse number 2. Paul had great sorrow and anguish for his disobedient people. There is no shame or bias in loving and wanting the best for our people group. We should not disdain our culture or ethnic background, but we should value and respect who we are as people of color, always remembering that we are Christians first and followers of God's word before anyone or anything, and then use our victory in Jesus to set others free, not use God's word to enslave other people. All right, let's go on to the Bible, verse number 3. It says, for if it were possible, I would wish that I myself were accused, separated, bandaged from Christ for the sake of the salvation of my brothers, my natural kinsmen. Here's my comment regarding verse number 3. Thank God we do not need to be separated from the love of God for the sake of others. However, once we are saved in Jesus, we do have the responsibility to live like Christ and share the good news with others. Just keep in mind that there is only one Messiah, and that is Jesus, our Savior and Lord. Do not compromise God's word to try to fit in groups of people, but rather share the news with love, joy and peace in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's go back to the Bible and read verse number 4. Verse number 4 says, who are Israelites, to whom belongs the adoption as sons? The glory, Shekinah, the special covenants with Abraham, Moses, and David. The giving of the law, the system of temple worship, and the original promises. Here's my comment regarding verse number 4. Here Paul is reminding his countrymen of their privileged position. The scripture tells us that too much is given, much is required. You can find that in Luke 12:48. And this too should help us Christians stay focused first on the word of God. All right, let's go to verse number 5 from the Bible. It says, to them belong the patriarchs, and from them, according to his natural descent, came the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed. He who is exalted and supreme over all, God bless forever. Amen. All right, here's my comment regarding verse number 5. Again, Paul is exhorting his people to live up to the level that was afforded them, a genealogy that birthed the Christ, our Messiah. This is one inheritance that each Christian should rejoice and be glad in, for without the faithful saints of old, Jesus' birth could have been further delayed. All right, let's go on to verse number 6. The Bible says, however, it is not as though God's word has failed, coming to nothing, for not all who are descended from Israel, Jacob, are the true Israel. Here's my comment regarding verse number 6. This correction is founded on the promises of God. The true chosen people are those who believe and accept Jesus as Savior and Lord. Let's go on to verse number 7. The Bible says, and they are not all the children of Abraham, because they are his descendants by blood. But the promise was, your descendants will be named through Isaac, through Abraham, had other sons. Here's my comment regarding verse number 7. In like manner, the children of Abraham are those who by faith have accepted Jesus and live by their faith according to God's word. It is these Christians that will see the promises of God manifested in their lives and loved ones. All right, let's go on to verse number 8. The Bible says, that is, it is not the children, the body, Abraham's natural descendants who are God's children, but it is the children of the promise who are counted as Abraham's true descendants. Here's my comment regarding verse number 8. God's blood covenant made with Abraham is available to all people of every color, sex, and age who choose to believe, accept Jesus as Savior and Lord, and live by faith. Christians are the true descendants and sons of God. Believer, Christian, you should be shouting right now that God has placed you above all people as a result of your faith and living according to his word. Amen. All right, let's go on and read verse number 9 from the Bible. It says, for this is what the promise said. About this time next year, I will come and Sarah shall have a son. Verse number 9, my comment is, in the following verses, Paul is going to remind his Jewish people of those faithful saints that God used to bless mankind. First Sarah, who was known to be barren, and yet by God's promise birthed a son, Isaac. Let's read verse number 10 from the Bible. The Bible says, and not only that, but this too, Rebekah conceived twin sons by one man under the same circumstances by our father, Isaac. Here's my comment regarding verse number 10. Secondly, Isaac and Rebekah had twin sons, which added to the genealogy of Jesus. Let's read from the Bible, verse 11. And though the twins were not yet born and had not done anything either good or bad, so that God's purpose, his choice, his election would stand, not because of works done by either child, but because of the plan of him who calls them. Here's my comment regarding verse number 11. God is all-knowing, and he sees the hearts and final intentions of man. My understanding is the following. God knew that Isaac would not value his inheritance as firstborn son, and as a result chose Jacob to be the next father or contributor to Jesus' genealogy. All right, let's go back to the Bible and read verse 12.
It says, it was said to her, the older Esau will serve the younger Jacob. Here's my comment regarding verse 12. To choose the younger over the older was devastating in an Oriental culture. Keep in mind that the responsibility of the firstborn son included the survival of the family name, wealth, and honor. In short, the firstborn son ensured the legacy of the entire family to the next generation. All right, let's continue with verse number 13. As it is written and forever remains written, Jacob I love, chose, protected, blessed. But Esau I hated, held in disregard compared to Jacob. Here's my comment regarding verse 13. God loves obedience and hates sin. Jacob was loved because he ultimately obeyed God and the genealogy of Jesus was kept on track. Whereas Esau sold his inheritance for a bowl of stew, and his disobedience or sin, not the man, was hated by God. Let's read verse 14 from the Bible. It says, what shall we say then? Is there injustice with God? Certainly not. Oh, I'm so sorry, family. I am looking at my time, and my time is up. Please return next week as we continue our study of the book of Romans, our guidebook to Christian living. Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.